Kawanya Mata Baptist Church Te Whare, this is my home. Ko Sarawa School Tipuna, ko Tangata Te Riti, ko Atiawa Te Whanau, ko Frank Toko Matua, ko Alice Toko Whaia, ko Glenn, ko Rhys Akutine, ko Joanna Toko Huawahini, ko Colin Takutama, ko Nadia Taku Kōtero, ko Mark Toko Ingoa, no reira, no Wanya Mata Ahau, no reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Who's enjoying the series of Sermon on the Mount? Just some of you. And as I went through my mihi mihi, we've been looking at that at youth on Friday nights, because the genealogy of Jesus is a mihi mihi from Matthew, and it shows the genealogy from that time all the way back to the beginning of time, where we can see that history records and proves what happened at 24 years ago, with the birth of Jesus Christ. And that is really important, because that's our whakapapa. That's our bloodline. All of us here today, every single one of us. Well, who's found the series challenging? Some of you. Oh my goodness. It exposes my heart, my attitudes. It tells me what he expects from me, the outcomes of the everyday choices I make. If you have engaged with Matthew 5 to 7, it should have brought some changes in your life. If you've engaged with that text, with what Jesus said. If there's been no change, I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. I've had my attitudes changed. I've had how I react in different circumstances has made me rethink those and change some of those. How I view people and circumstances. How I live day to day. Every moment of every day. That has helped me to make some of those changes. So there are those that know me quite well. They walk life with me. They have a deeper relationship with me. They know my journey, and they can see that change. Do you have relationships like that within the church? That's rhetorical. You don't have to answer that. You should. But the life groups. Who's in the life group here? Who wants to be in the life group? Everybody's hands should go up. I wish you could all experience that love, the relationships, the bonding, the encouragement, the support, the encouragement, the support, the encouragement and support. Did I say encouragement? Did I mention support? Yeah. The shoulder leaning, the prayer, the encouragement, the support, the accountability. Did I say encouragement and support? Yeah. It's a motley crew, I tell you what. It's a motley crew of dear, dear souls that the Spirit of God has drawn together. To grow together, to learn together, to laugh together, to cry together, to disagree together, discuss our understanding of the world, the challenges we face, like iron sharpening iron. Amen. When Jesus spoke to the people of Israel on the mount, he's drawing them to God and drawing them together. There's Israel, and if you can see the little red dot right at the top of the screen, that's where the Mount of the Beatitudes is. If you didn't know where it was compared to where Jerusalem is, it's about 200 miles or about 3 days walk. You walk fast. It's on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee between Capernaum and Tabitha, on the southern slopes of the Chorazin Plateau. And some of you have probably been there. It's a goal of mine to get there. It's got negative altitude. What does that mean? It's below sea level. Around 25 metres below sea level, it makes one of the lowest summits of the world. Lowest mountains in the world. There we have, we're looking from the Sea of Galilee now. Jesus would have been standing just there, probably just behind that tree line, and he would have been talking up the hill, sort of something like that. Would have made a natural amphitheatre, so as he stood at the bottom and spoke, his voice would have carried out and up over all the people. There's a group of people there. I don't know if Calvin and Carolyn are in that group. It's not their photo. They're not in that group. But some of you have travelled. I would love to go there and stand there and just soak in that. Whatever's there, just soak it in. What would it have been like for the people? Who was there? That's not rhetorical. Who was there? Well, there were the Pharisees. We heard that they were there. And the Sadducees. There would have been fishermen, marketplace sellers, everyday folk going about their jobs and duties, all of whom under the persecution of Rome. Dictatorship of Rome. They would have all been there. What would it have been like to stand there and listen to Jesus preach that sermon? Who's read it from start to finish without stopping, the Sermon on the Mount? Who's heard it? Well, man, have I got a treat for you today. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 5, we're going to start Matthew 5, and we're going to hear and be able to read on the screen the full Sermon of the Mount. To try and get an understanding of what it would have been like for them back in that day.
Matthew chapter 5. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that our ancestors were told, "You must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment." But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar of the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on your way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows, you must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you must carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 6. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like the person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law.
If you need to come down and repent now after hearing the word, now's a good time. Or you can wait till the end. Letting God's word do its work. So what is it like to be a citizen of God's kingdom? Because that's what he's talking about. He describes what is it like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Who's travelled around the world? Who's been to lots of different places around the world? Did you notice anything different about the different places you went? And how when you went to China, people acted a certain way. When you went to Japan, people acted and went in a certain way. And it's the same wherever you go. We call them stereotypes or they have different characteristics. Not everyone, but you'll find when you go to a different country, you'll notice those about them. Some are so prominent, some aren't. Some are exaggerated. When you go to Germany, people behave like this, you see it. They become known by their characteristics. I'm sure that people that visit New Zealand go, oh, Kiwis are, oh, they're all like this. You go overseas and they talk about what they know about Kiwis. There are exceptions, but there are certain values and certain characteristics that they are known by the things that they are that are important to them and the cultures that they have. So Jesus here is describing exactly what characteristics describe the people of the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying that when you see my people, this is what they look like. This is what you will see. This is what is important to them. These are the values they hold, and these are the values they live by. This is their culture. So if you speak and say things about Jesus, you can quote Bible verses, you can speak Christianese, you know what that is, eh? But don't really mean it if it's not coming from their heart. It's superficial. And the Bible says we don't go to heaven. Who can tell me, who lists this Bible scholars out there, what does Numbers 32:23 say? Who can tell me? Just off the top of your head. I'll help you if you want. Anybody? Phone's not allowed. That's cheating. It says, who's heard this saying before? Be sure your sins will find you out. I can see some nodding of either approval or disapproval, not sure. Both. What does it mean though? Be sure your sins will find you out. What is the sin it's talking about? Because it's talking about a specific sin. It's not a library worth of all the ones listed throughout the Bible. There's one specific one that it's talking about, and it says, be sure it will find you out. It's the sin of doing nothing. Doing nothing. You hear the word, but you allow it to do nothing in your mind, nothing in your heart, nothing in your actions, nothing in your life. Imagine what it was like for them on that day. Jesus is standing there, and he's saying, you will stand before me. I mean, imagine if I was saying that to you. You guys are going to stand before me on judgment day. You'd be like, oh, whatever. But he was saying, on the day of judgment, you will stand before me. See, people say that Jesus never said he was God. But I tell you what, he was saying he was God there. The people of Israel know that when he said, you will stand in judgment before me, they knew exactly that he was saying that he was God. He would be their judge. And then there's listening and not doing. And what about doing and not knowing? And I read the Bible, I go to church, I'm on a roster, I believe in miracles, I've seen miracles, I've prayed for people to have miracles, and they've had their miracle. It's happened many times. Last week we had a lovely young lady come up. She had a sore ear, she had pain going down her right side, and she was healed last week. She is better this week. God did a miracle. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. See, when Jesus says, you will do miracles and I don't know you, he's not saying, oh, you're not doing miracles. So what's the difference? He's not denying that miracles didn't occur. Jesus is saying, it's your relationship with me. It's your claim of my lordship in your life. Is it beyond surface level? Is it beyond superficial? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Who's heard that one before? Well, this is exactly what Jesus is saying there. It's not what you know and what you can do, it's who you know, and that is Jesus Christ. See, this is the picture you normally see, eh? You get the house on the sand and the house way up high on a rock, out of the storm, out of the water. But that's not how Jesus is talking about it in this passage of the Sermon on the Mount. It might click. He's talking like this. Are you able to go to the next slide? So the next picture, if you can imagine it in your mind, is of two houses looking the same on the beach. Okay, both houses are side by side. They've got the same timber. They've got the same glass by the same manufacturer. They've got the same weatherboards. They've got the same structural timber. So what's the difference? There we go. What's the difference? They're nice beach. Look the same. This could be get the 10 differences, but the chimney is the one I can see straight away. ChatGPT for the picture. Thank you. What's the difference? It's the foundation. It's not what you see on the surface. It's not what you see when you look at me. It's what's in my heart. What's going on within me. What's going on under the ground. The adversities of life come, the storms, loss of job, broken relationships, trauma. We've all had storms in our lives. Some of us right now are going through storms. Some of us are about to go through a storm. Some of us are going to go through a big crashing storm, as it said in the passage, when we stand before him. See, what I realise about, and I've done this myself, I waited until I was going through a storm before I worked on the foundation. But Jesus is saying, you've got to work on the foundation now. You've got to start working now to build a good, strong foundation, so when the storms of life come, you will withstand. If you don't, it's because of our own ignorance and our own neglect. Two houses built on the same shore. The storms come, one's damaged. See, that's happened because the builder didn't pay attention. And I'm sure he didn't do it deliberately too. I'm sure he didn't go, I'm deliberately going to not use as much concrete as it. I'm not going to put steel into that foundation. I'm not going to use inferior products. I'm sure he didn't build a shoddy house on purpose. but sometimes life and circumstances get in the way of what our building of our foundation, which is Christ, the rock. Jesus is the rock we should be building on. And sometimes things get in the way of that, which means when the storms come, we can collapse. Now, I don't know if you can see that house there. Okay, so that house there, the house in the bottom corner, that was during Hurricane Michael in Florida in 2018. It's the only one standing. It's the only one that's there. So after the previous storm, when they lost their house, they put a whole lot more money into rebuilding their house. A lot more resources, better quality products, strengthening. Man, it cost them a whole lot more. But look at the outcome. Their house was famous on the interweb because it was the only one that stood. So it raises the question for us, how much hard work, how much time, how much effort, how much quality input are you prepared to put into your foundation? And that's what Jesus is asking his hearers. So how do you go about building a good foundation? Well, here's what Jesus said we have to do. Endure persecution. Let our light shine in the dark world. Not hate. Not murder. Not commit adultery. Do not make vows. Do not lust. Do not seek revenge. Love those who hate us. Give of our material resources and do it with the right attitude. Pray and do it with the right attitude. Fast and do it with the right attitude. Store treasure in heaven more than we store treasure on earth. Don't worry, but trust our loving Heavenly Father. Don't be judgmental or hypocritical. And beware of false prophets. So this sort of rounds up all of the Sermon of the Mount up until the last two verses, which was my passage for today. That was the introduction. So we've got about 3 hours. No, I'm joking. Today, we go, oh, did you hear what Derek Prince said? Man, it was good. Oh, what about Charles Stanley? Man, he said the other day that. And we use them as an authoritative voice. Where do you go for your authority? Do you go to the newspaper? Social media? The news channel? YouTube. There are so-called prophets on YouTube that all they do is throw out information. Information, information, whole lot of things, and hopefully something in what they've said is going to relate to what's going on in your life today. A lot of it's to do with the politics, and a lot of it's to do with America. They are nothing but modern-day mediums claiming to be Christians. See, the prophets that we read in the Bible, they called people to repentance. They had a specific word that was detailed, and it was specific. Not a shotgun effect. See, when I go duck hunting, I get my shotgun and we shoot at a piece of paper so we can see how the shot goes. And so when you point it up in the air, you're hoping that one of those mini bearings that go out gonna hit the duck. And that's sort of what we're experiencing on YouTube. Whole lot of information, nothing specific, and something might, it sort of reminds me of Nostradamus. The prophets of the Bible called people to repentance, and they pointed straight to God. Jesus is the authority. The Word of God is the authority. It's the only authority we need to live our lives. Every day can be challenging. How do we get through it? The Word of God and its authority and the promises in there. Nothing else is going to help us on that great day of destruction that it talked about other than the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to test your memory. I think you've got to be a bit old to remember this guy, eh? Who knows who he is? Yeah. Selwyn Toogood. What was the name of the show? It's in the bag. Oh, what have we got over here? We got bag number one. I think I'll just turn that other microphone off, I think. No, it's off. Give me a bit of feedback. There we go. Okay, so we got bag number one. We're going to put that down there. We got four bags. Four bags. Bag number one, we're going to put that right here. And hopefully it's not going to get caught on fire by the candle. We'll try and be really careful of that. That's such a great thing to do too, because it just helps us to focus when we light the candle. Bag number four, we've got bag number two. Is it okay to put that on? No, we won't put it on top of that. We'll put it in the front. Bag number two, bag number three, and bag number four. All right, who wants to choose a bag? Who's me? Choose a bag. Oh, birthday girl. Oh, I won't tell anyone. Between you and me. Which bag would you like? Number three. This one here. Alrighty. Alright, so we've got... How does it work? He offers you the money or the bag, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Alright. Here comes the money. Okay. So... Behave the same as those persecuting me or the bag. Oh. Behave the same as people in the world or the bag. Hate. Hate or the bag. Murder or the bag. Commit adultery or the bag. Make vows or the bag. Lust or the bag. Seek revenge or the bag? Give for my own praise or the bag? Hate those who hate me or the bag? Fast for attention or the bag? God, trying to give it away. Store treasure only on earth or the bag? Oh, worry or the bag? Not trust in the loving Father in the heaven or the bag? Not trust. Bag. It's hard to give this away. Be judgmental.
Bag.
Be hypocritical.
Bag.
Listen to false prophets.
Bag.
Oh, well, that was the Sermon on the Mount. That was everything on the Sermon on the Mount. And she chose the bag. Ladies and gentlemen, she has won. Jesus. Woo-hoo. Awesome. Covers all of that. Okay, we got another lucky. Who was the other birthday person? Stewie. Birthday person. Money. Which bag do you want?
Three.
Number three. All right, there's down here. Oh, that was three. I'm going to have to give you number four. Well, hang on. I can fix that. Shh. Bag number three. All right, here we go. Money or the bag? Associate with sorcerers or the bag? Associate with sorcerers, do sorcery or the bag? Be sexually immoral or the bag? Be a murderer. Or the bag? Can we turn the gain down on this, please? Be an idol worshipper. The bag, and love to live a lie. You're gonna take the bag as well. Oh my goodness. All right, so that was Revelations 22:15. All right, so I'll put that up there. You wanted the bag? All right, you have won a trip for Jesus. All right. Man, it's getting hard to give away all the stuff that the world offers, I tell you, you bunch. All right. Okay, can I have a volley? We've got two bags left. Who wants to choose a bag? Oh, I saw that hand right there. Yes, which bag? Number two. All right, number two. The money or the bag? All right. Sexual immorality or the bag? The bag. You have to think about that one. Impurity and debauchery, or the bag. Idolatry, or the bag. Oh, the bag. Witchcraft, or the bag. Hatred, or the bag. The bag. Discord, or the bag. Jealousy, or the bag. Fits of rage, or the bag. Selfish ambition, or the bag. The bag. Oh, you guys all want the bag. Fits of rage, or the bag. The bag. Selfish ambition, or the bag. The bag again. Dissensions, or the bag. The bag. Fractions. Envy, or the bag. Drunkenness, or the bag. Orgies, or the like, and the bag. Oh, the bag again. Nobody wants to take all that the world offers you. Okay, you have won. Jesus! Who covers all of that. Right, we got one last chance to get rid of the stuff on the world. Mr. Kramer, bag number one. Do wrong, or the bag. Yeah, do wrong, or you want the bag. Okay, are you sure? All right. Indulge in sexual sin, or the bag. Worship idols, or the bag. Commit adultery, or the bag. Prostitute yourself, or the bag. Practice homosexuality, or the bag. Be a thief, or the bag. Be greedy, or the bag. Be a drunkard, or the bag. Be abusive, or the bag. Same. Oh, okay. Cheat people, or the bag. Oh, can't give away this stuff. My goodness. Can't even give it away. Okay. Are you sure you want the bag? All right. The bag, you have won. Jesus! Who covers all of this. We got it in the bag, haven't we? See, these are the characteristics and the values that we have as Christians. We endure persecution. We let our light shine in the dark. We do not hate. We do not murder. We do not commit adultery. We do not make vows. We do not lust. We do not seek revenge. We love those who hate us. We give our material resources for the right reasons. We pray and we do it right. We fast and we do it right. We store treasure in heaven more than we store on earth. We try not to worry and trust our Heavenly Father. We're not judgmental or hypocritical, and we are aware and we beware of false prophets. See, the Sermon on the Mount tells us what our culture should be as Christians. Now, I know that sometimes it's a daily struggle to be able to have this culture 24/7, and it's a daily struggle. It really is sometimes. But it leaves us with three choices. Do we have a true or a false relationship with Jesus? Second choice. What is the foundation that we're building our lives on? And the third choice we have, what is the authority we recognize in our lives? We're about to take communion. So my servers are going to come up. And this is your time for a response. Now, if you want to come up and be prayed for, we'll do that. Absolutely, we'll join with you in prayer. But this is going to allow you some time between you and God to sort out those things that you know need sorting out. I'm sure as we've read scripture and listened to the words of Jesus, it's challenging. and we put it right by taking it to the authority, taking it to whom we have relationship, taking it to Jesus, who is the only one who can forgive sin. We're going to have some music playing in the background. You can take your elements when you're ready to take them. If there's been something that's challenged you, that you're struggling with, that you're finding hard, that you want to put right, that you need help with, your opportunity as we think about that Jesus died on the cross for us, shed his blood for us, so that we could be forgiven. His body was broken for us. We're going to give you a few minutes to do what you need to in your heart to connect with Jesus and his heart for you.